this is sort of the era of the Xbox right now, so you can do the intro.
Welcome to Thumcast. This is James and Michael. We're probably mostly going to talk about mods, although briefly, we had a conversation earlier today about whether it makes any kind of business sense at all for a company like Bethesda to be shipping DLC with an Xbox exclusive, or for that matter, if they had made a deal with Sony for a PS3 exclusive. And given how much energy there is surrounding the Steam Workshop on Steam and how the PC world is where all of this is being kept alive and interested, we've pretty much come to the conclusion that this is a foot-shooting kind of exercise.
Foot-shooting.
Foot-shooting, yeah, whatever. What I tried to say. Point is, you've got all these people playing on PC. I'm playing on PC, too. I'm stupid enough that I've invested in this game twice. But, you know, we were going to talk allegedly about mods in this podcast because we each have a whole crap load installed, although I must admit Michael's way past me. I think he's at, what, level 60 of them now or something?
That's because somebody here doesn't have Dawnguard.
Yeah, it's because somebody here doesn't have Dawnguard. So the thing is that you think about this, and yeah, Dawnguard's out for Xbox, and I've been playing it. I've gone through the entire Werewolf line now, including all 11 Werewolf perks, which actually is more cool than I would have thought it was, and I'll probably discuss that more in the next podcast where I'm talking to people who've been playing.
No spoilers for that on this particular episode, because this is more about from the PC and side of things, not so much the PlayStation 3, because we're talking mods. So, sorry, PlayStation 3 guys. You guys get just the butt end of everything when it comes to games right now.
Yeah, you get to wait and you don't get mods. So you're
and you get the buggier version with the...
So all you PS3 players, don't let the door hit you on the way out, I guess is what Bethesda's saying to you.
Well, this isn't a BioWare giving them the middle finger ending.
Oh, don't even get me started on the screw you ending, which actually you can insert a different word there. You can consult my blog, search for post tagged Mass Effect 3, and you can find my exact opinions on what Casey Hudson should and shouldn't do with himself. Not that yes. I have an opinion on the matter.
It's definitely family friendly.
If you're going to talk about Skyrim and mods, the thing is that all the energy that is surrounding this stuff, and the fact that the game has been out for, 6 months now? Almost 7 months. It came out in November. So, of all the people playing on console, what percentage do you think are going to be grabbing the DLC? And, you know, Michael's assertion, it's not like we have numbers or anything. We can't say that. But his assertion was that it's probably a relatively small number of the Xbox players because they've all moved on to different games by now. And, you know, while I went back and bought it, and partly that's because I've been playing on the PC. If I hadn't been playing on the PC, maybe I wouldn't have. I might well have moved on by now. If you're not playing on PC at all, what are the odds that you're going to go back and pick this up?
Every time I've sat down to play Skyrim, I've added a couple of extra mods on, and it's kept the game, and I think you said it the right way before, alive. And you don't get that on the Xbox. So the people who, and let's not forget, there is a crowd out there that haven't even finished the game yet. Naming any podcast names, but but there are people who haven't finished the game yet, so that Dawnguard is going to be on their radar because they're enjoying Skyrim and playing. But for the people who are hardcore gamers who have finished this game and put it down, the only place where you're going to continue to get replay value is on the PC, where you keep getting more and more interesting stuff to do. Like the other day, I was out heading towards a mission, and I came across a herd of wild horses from a mod I have installed. And they were just chilling. They didn't want anything to do with me. I approached them and they ran away. They weren't an issue, you know. It was just awesome to
just run
into that.
That's the one that adds additional wildlife, isn't it?
Yeah, and we're gonna go through all the mods list. And I've got 58 installed right now. I removed two that were causing me trouble. One of them was the static mesh update, which... I think
you got to be careful about the mesh update ones. They tend to screw things up.
Yeah, I think the guy who was putting that together, best intentions and all, but really keeping it compatible with updates from Bethesda is pretty hard to do.
Yeah.
So I had to remove that one. I was seeing glitches and caves and all kinds of stuff. So that was not good.
Yeah, there's one I almost downloaded until I read the bug section. There's one that I've forgotten the name, but somebody will remember it. It's the one where it takes all of the city areas and moves them onto the world map.
There's only three cities in that so far, though.
Okay.
I've been holding off on that because I want all the cities.
Okay, so it moves three cities. But the interesting thing about that is that if you read the bug section, it talks about how people, it screws with the way people follow you around. It can muck up your followers. It can muck up the behavior of people in the cities. I mean, ideally, that sounds great because then you get no continuity problems when you're moving into a city and you get the black load screen. But on the other hand, since it's screwing with the meshes, who knows what kinds of weirdness you're going to get.
Yep. And there are certain mods that conflict with each other. There's like a whole class of mod that extends the intro so that you have an alternate way to start the game instead of riding in on the carriage.
Yeah, my daughter raves about that one, by the way. I have not tried that because...
There's more than one, though.
I have a character that's like level 43 now or 44 that I've been working through on the PC, and I don't really feel like starting over again yet. But my daughter raved about that one.
Yeah, I almost started over. I thought, you know what? I'm going to play a new character from the start a couple of weeks before Dawnguard comes out. So that when Dawnguard comes out, I'll have a new character with everything done. And I'll try out some of these mods as well that change the start because I think that'd be interesting. But I guess we can touch on Dawnguard now. This is what we're talking about.
There's one achievement that'll screw with that, and that's there's one achievement that you have to kill a legendary dragon. And I think it has, I haven't seen confirmation, but I think you have to be level 60 before they even spawn.
I think it's probably level 50.
Well, if it's level 50, I haven't stumbled across any. Maybe they just don't spawn that often, but I've been wandering around a lot. Partly because of the whole werewolf thing, which I'll get into in the podcast we do probably tomorrow with the people who are playing on the Xbox. But I've been wandering around a lot in werewolf form, and while I've run across dragons, no legendaries.
Well, see, I changed my mind. I'm not going to do that now. I still have Prup, my Khajiit. It's the perfect name for a cat person, really. And so I'm running around with Prup, and Shedemir died with the latest update with horse combat. I went over this very small cliff, fell off Shedemir, and Shedemir died. So I need Dawnguard to get the indestructible undead horse. So that sounds
good. I didn't get that horse, by the way, so you're not possibly going to get a spoiler for me. I gave up trying to find the damn thing.
Okay. So here's the thing. Dawnguard's out on Xbox. The page you go to launch this Skyrim on Steam is filled with news about Dawnguard and reviews. And a lot of the reviews are sort of like, meh, you know, it's more of Skyrim. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get. But it's not earth-shattering. And I think I figured out why. It's minor spoilers for anybody who's trying to block their ears of absolutely everything Dawnguard-related. But trust me, I have been trying to censor myself significantly too, so I don't think I'm giving away too much. The main plot revolves around expanding werewolves a little bit and vampires massively. So it's another faction path, basically. But it doesn't answer or extend any of the main plot stuff that's left hanging at the end of Skyrim. So who's going to be emperor? You know, your Dovahkiin, the Dovahkiin is always destined to be emperor. Who actually ends up ruling the Skyrim lands as king? You know, the group was going to meet together and vote on that, but that's left out of the first part of the game. What about the Thalmor threat? You know, they're clearly stirring up more and more issues, and now that the Civil War is over, they're going to have an interest in causing even more trouble in Skyrim. And that's clearly something that everybody who played the game through was thinking, Thalmor fight, Thalmor fight.
But here's the difficulty. You could. Now, this is a difficulty for Bethesda in terms of doing DLC. You can quite easily, and I've got a character on PC right now that's level 44 that has done the peace treaty thing, hasn't taken a side yet. I'm probably going to, but let's say I left it alone. Let's say I didn't take a side. If you do DLC that assumes you took a side, you've got a problem. You don't have to. You could leave that quest alone.
No, you just make this mission start after the Civil War. You say, look, the trigger to start the chapter 2 is to complete the Civil War and to kill Alduin. Okay, once you've done those two things, the DLC turns on. And then you've got a whole bunch of plots that you can follow. And what I was actually suggesting to the Thumcast chat was have chapter 2 be, okay, the Civil War is done, and that's the trigger. The Thalmor decide they're going to use Skyrim as a flanking attack on the Empire. They're going to land on the north and start marching troops through Skyrim. So With the Civil War out of the way, that's going to get the Thalmor into a lot of trouble. They're going to have to fight the native population of Skyrim, who are going to resist and fight these evil people. And it's the game sort of sets you up for it. You know, you have the diplomatic mission, which annoys them. You've got these Thalmor roaming around with prisoners. You've got various missions that are Talos-related. It seems like it would have been perfect to have DLC number one continue the story. There's a lot of these games that are starting to produce episodic content too.
That's my opinion. A conversation we've had, I think, on this podcast, and I know in private chat, where you think about the way they've released this, and you think about the kind of thing that they've done, and just from a straight business standpoint, they've given themselves a month to have news about Dawnguard spread all over the internet. And there'll be good reviews, there'll be bad reviews, and you know, they can't control how this is going to come out. By the end of those 30 days, when it hits PC, where I think most of the buyers are going to be because of what you said about the mods keeping the game alive, at the end of those 30 days, they don't control the narrative as far as whether Dawnguard was good, bad, or indifferent. So, you know, regardless of what your opinion is or my opinion is, after I've played it, and after you've played it when it comes out, they don't control the narrative for that. At the end of 30 days, they just have to live with whatever the internet comes up with.
There's also the effect of, okay, so say it gets generally favorable reviews. There are people who won't buy it because vampires don't interest them. They want to know what happens to Skyrim, their character in the Empire, but they don't... My character's a werewolf. Never, don't care about the vampires at all. Don't want to join them. Don't want to have anything to do with them. Or say my character doesn't like werewolves or vampires, you know. So, okay, maybe follow the Dawnguard path. That could be slightly interesting. Could defeat the vampires, sure. But on the whole, it's not super compelling, especially for $30 to go and buy it. That said,
well, it's not.
I am a Skyrim.
It's $20, not $30.
Okay, well, $20, that's pretty good. But you were saying, you know, maybe it's worth more like $10. But here's the thing. As a Skyrim fan on PC playing with mods, the game is still alive for me, and I want to buy it. And the reviews haven't been so terrible that I shy away from it. I am eager to try out this part of the game and keep playing it. So they haven't completely screwed the pooch there, but it still seems like a big
risk. They risked.
They did risk it. Yeah. And it's been, so, like you said, it's been so long that you would think that they would come in with a bigger bang, which is why I was suggesting. Something that would truly extend the story, not just add on more side story.
Yeah, and I really hope they do go back and do something along the lines of what you're talking about. Do some resolution to the Civil War thing where you either determine a new emperor, determine a new High King, deal with the Thalmor. It would be great to see something along those lines instead of just another thing where they add factions.
Well, you know, there's this thing where, depending on who you side with, some of the people who were in charge, the Jarls, end up stuck in a basement somewhere, grumbling and groaning and calling you bad names. What you need is someone to be elected king and for those people to be dealt with, either pardoned or imprisoned somewhere. You know, and sometimes you actually have to go and talk to these people. I remember when I started with the Stormcloaks, I then later wanted to do one of the Daedric quests, which is the sword that consumes souls. And I had to go and find the Jarl and his son in...
Whiterun.
No, but they weren't in Whiterun anymore.
That's where
because,
they used to be, yes.
Yeah, they're over in...
Are they in Windhelm in a dungeon somewhere?
No, they're in the other place.
Riften?
No, the capital city.
Oh, Solitude.
Yeah, they're in Solitude down in the Blue Palace in some basement rooms down there, just sort of milling about, really annoyed at you. So I actually had to go and talk to them to be able to do this quest. And they've got, you know, plot-wise, they've got no real reason to want to talk to me anymore because I sided with the enemy. So it would be nice if those sorts of things got resolved. And I think it's a missed opportunity. So anyway, yeah, this is a real shame that they drank the MS Kool-Aid. And we were talking about the business side of this is, you know, just how many Xbox users buy DLC for a game like this has got to be less than the number of PC users who would have bought it instantly, me included. If it had come out on all platforms...
And from that standpoint, it has to be the case that they have to hope that the amount of money Microsoft kicked in, because that's the only way an exclusive like this happens, if the vendor kicks in money. That money that Microsoft kicked in has to be bigger than whatever losses they're going to take on PC sales that don't happen.
And we may be completely off here. I mean, maybe Microsoft did all the advertising, right? And that could be a massive amount of money. But then again, who are you advertising it to? You know, if you're advertising it to the PC users, then sticking it on Steam does that immediately.
Yep.
And it's not like Steam wants to charge you massive amounts of money to advertise stuff that's going to make them money too.
Right.
So maybe Bethesda gets the full $20 when you buy it on the Xbox, and they don't have to pay Microsoft any of that money. Maybe Steam takes a cut. I don't know. Who knows? But it just does seem kind of crazy that this is in place still.
Well, with all that said, you want to go through some of the mods that we're using?
Yeah. This is so... you told me a while back, hey, we need to do a new episode about mods. Because we did an episode about mods before, and we talked about some of them, and you hadn't really used any at all.
Yeah,
and then you turned around and said, hey, I'm using a bunch of mods now. We should talk about this again. And it just so happens that, yeah, I've been continually adding more and more mods as they come out and as people rank them up. And I've been a bit of a follower in this rather than a leader. I've marked a few as my favorites. But for the most part, I've just been following what other people have marked as favorites and adding them as I decide that that's good for my gameplay. There are some that are up there on the front page that are like some random unique weapons. Like, well, I'm never going to make that, so I don't care about it. Or some gameplay breaking features, like, well, I definitely don't want that one.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna lower myself a little bit here. Since you decided to put this in alphabetical order instead of most recently loaded, at the top of my list was one that I saw recommended. It was on the Hot Files list on Steam, or I don't know if they call it Hot Files, but it's up at the top as most recommended. The Better Females, which is Better Female Faces for the most part, by Bella.
Yeah, I've got the less makeup version of that.
I've got that too. I've got both. I've got the one that's Better Faces and Better Faces Less Makeup, because I think it makes things look better, but it doesn't, I don't know, it's not like I've heard...
You can have both? How does that work? Mm-hmm. But is that Better Faces for everyone or just Better Faces for females?
It's just females. I've got the Better Faces.
But you can't have
better
both of them.
Better Females by Bella and Better Females by Bella Less Makeup.
You can't have both of them.
I don't have both. Yeah, Better Females by Bella, you get the core files and the less makeup.
No, I just got the one. Maybe I've done that wrong then. Okay, well, I'll take another look at that.
Just tell me what I've got here.
Okay, well, my first one's actually one that the other day I just installed it and I noticed it almost immediately. Alternate sun glare.
What's that?
Just the tiniest little touches sometimes. This is the glare of the sun when you're looking up directly at it.
Oh, okay.
But not when you stare at it, when you just like glance at it, or when you've got a sunrise and a sunset. So I noticed this when I was walking to Solitude through the forest, through the trees, the sun was coming up and it just cut through the trees. And I was like, whoa, that looks awesome. And that's even the screenshot they have, is the sun cutting through the trees during sunrise. And it, man, what a difference does it make? The tiniest little touches like this.
Well, you know what one I have loaded that is not quite as cool as that, I don't think, but I've liked it a lot, is Better Dynamic Snow. And it actually interacts nicely with one I also loaded. It's further down my list, but I'll mention it at the same time, Deeper Snow. So on the one hand, the snow coming down looks a little more realistic, and on the other hand, it comes down heavier. So there are parts where, you know, it'll be snowing, and in general, it'll look like it's snowing, but it's not that heavy.
Yeah, this is Better Dynamic Snow, right?
Well, I've got Better Dynamic Snow, and I also loaded Deeper Snow.
Okay, well, now you're jumping all the way to
I know, but the thing is, combined, the two of them make the snow look pretty cool, and at the same time, you get blizzards.
Yeah.
You get to the point where actually, even in the daytime, if it comes down, you basically, it makes combat really tough. You actually can't see much of anything.
Yeah, I've got... Okay, let's do this by alphabetical order, because I actually have Better Dynamic Snow. I don't have Deeper Snow, so hang on. I've got to write that down. So I've got to get myself some Deeper Snow. I need a text document to write this. Type Deeper Snow. And I need to double check the Bella's Better Faces.
Females. Better Females by Bella.
Yeah, I've got to double check that I've got that right. Yeah, so Better Dynamic Snow. Let's do this one and finish off the A's. Yeah, I love it. You know, you get more snow, and it really gets like up in Winterhold. Hey, you can't see squat. You get these blizzards, and it's awesome.
You wonder why the blacksmith's out there working when you can't see in front of your face.
Yeah, Actually, I was in Solitude, and I wanted to buy a horse because, you know, we shed him dead. I need a new horse. And I couldn't find him anywhere, and I was looking around, and I could hear him working, and he was around the back of his place working on his on his little veggie garden. Okay, so the next mod I have is Arrow Stick. Oh, yes.
So what's that do?
You know how you shoot people and sometimes arrows stick into them?
Yes.
Just about all the arrows you shoot at them stick in them now. So you get this dead body and there's just arrows everywhere. It's awesome.
So it's like the scene at the end of the first Lord of the Rings movie where you've got...
Legolas shooting all the arrows everywhere?
Well, you've got the orcs shooting all the arrows everywhere and you've got the dead bodies with the arrows sticking all out of them.
Yeah. It's fantastic. I don't know why this isn't part of the game normally. Yes, it's gruesome, but I shot those arrows into the guy. They should stick.
I'll have to load that one. That one sounds pretty awesome.
Okay, that gets me to B. The next one in B I have is Birds and Flocks.
I've got that one. That's a really cool one because while it doesn't do anything to gameplay, it just makes the world seem more alive, that you wander around and suddenly a bunch of birds will swoop up off the ground.
Yeah. You look up in the sky and there's birds everywhere. You know, it's one of those things where in, say, Minecraft, you're wandering through the forest and it's dead. There's no birds. There's nothing going on. The only wildlife are enemies to fight. So, yeah, these sorts of touches just make such a huge difference. Well, that's actually the end of Bs for me. You got any more Bs?
Yeah, I've got actually two. I've got one called Beyond Skyrim, A Quest. It was one of my first efforts to download a quest, and it was pretty simple. I mean, you went off and killed basically a skeletal dragon. It wasn't all that exciting, and it didn't add that much, but it was kind of cool that it was there and that somebody was attempting to put together a quest. And I loaded this quite a while ago, but it's not bad. I mean, that it's fully voiced. I mean, the voices aren't that great, but heck, it's an amateur effort. It's done by somebody who put some time into it, and it fits with the game. It just, you know, it's a minor side quest, and it's as good as many of the other side quests in the game.
Okay.
And the other B I have is one that I thought everybody loaded, and that's Breeze Home Renovation with Bathroom.
Nah, definitely not. Bathroom?
No, that's not necessary. It puts a smithy in the basement.
Yeah, no, I don't live at the Breeze Home.
Oh, okay. Well, I go there because early in the game, before I loaded this mod, you know, you've got the smithy right next door, and I've got the mod that I've got an enhancement to Breeze Home to put an enchanter's table upstairs, so...
Wait, I think that might be the only... No, there's also the home. Yeah, I've got... The first home I had was the Riften home, because I focused on being an assassin and a thief in this playthrough. So, I have the Windhelm home as well for that reason as well.
Okay.
So I only just recently bought the Solitude because I'm trying to do the Unusual Gems quest.
Uh-huh. And there's one in there.
Yeah. So, and that, man, that place is expensive.
I'm broke again. 25,000 plus all the things you have to add to it, yes.
Yeah.
Well, that does it for Bs for me.
Well, okay, starting with the C, I've got, actually I have one C, Child Adoption Service.
Oh, I saw that one, but I didn't load it. What does that do for you?
If you go to the orphanage in Riften, you can actually adopt a child and have them live at your house.
A house carl, basically, that doesn't go into combat?
Well, no, it's just like a kid that hangs around your house. I'm not married yet in this playthrough, so there is actually a mod there to allow you to marry a Khajiit. And since I'm Khajiit, I think I might get that mod and give it a go.
Okay.
So that I can have a, you know... I could stay within the species and have a Khajiit family with a human child. And looks like I can find a Khajiit child to adopt.
At least you haven't lost your diversity.
But I haven't decided on anyone I wanted to marry yet.
See, I've only got one C. That's the chopping block wood fires, which again, just a graphical thing. It makes the chopping blocks look more realistic. It replaces the textures on chop blocks and also replaces the textures for wood fires.
Is it worth it? Like, visually?
You know, yeah, I was playing earlier, and some of the fires look better. I mean, it just makes fires look better if they're wood fires.
Okay, putting that in my list. Chopping block... What's it called?
Chopping block / wood fires fix.
Okay, yep, now on my list.
Then I've only got the one D, and that's Deeper Snow.
Okay, yeah, like I said, I don't have that one. I've got a few Ds, though. I've got... Detailed mine map markers. I'm not sure this one's working. This is meant to mark all of the mines on the map. And the reason I don't think it's working is because of another mod that I will get to later that adds 1,000,000,000 map markers.
So the two are at war with each other, basically.
Yeah, and the other one's better anyway. So I don't know if this one really, you know, it's worth even mentioning since I'm not sure it's working. Dungeon quest awareness. This one's kind of useful. This one updates the map so that when you discover a new location, it tells you what quests are related to it.
Oh, yeah, that'd be highly useful.
Yeah. And, you know, from time to time, I have a quest that I can't do right now, and it's to go and get some book from a dungeon, and I can't get to that dungeon until I've completed the werewolf's quest from the companions. So I keep forgetting this every time, but then I go and now I've got this map, this mod loaded, it reminds me, oh yeah, can't go in there until I've done the companions.
So basically it tells you what the prereqs are to a certain extent.
Yeah, just the main prereq for a location, yeah. Like, you run across a place and you're like, oh, what's this place for? Oh, okay, it's part of that quest. I won't bother going in there yet. Next one I have is the Dwemer Rifle. Now, I haven't actually got this thing yet, but I have seen the schematics for it. So you have to craft it yourself. I think you have to craft it yourself. But yeah, it's like having a bow, except obviously it's a rifle. So I'm kind of excited to try and put that together. Because of all the races in this place to invent something like a rifle, it would be the Dwemer.
Well, given that they have steam power and these... they certainly have the ability to have powered things.
Yeah. Yeah, so that seemed to fit with the lore for me. You know, if guns are going to be a long-lost technology, and I suspect that rifle is probably pneumatic anyway.
Yeah.
The next one I have is Dynamic Fires. This one, let me just bring up the details for it. Oops, I didn't need to even click on that. I could just hover over it. This one allows you to ignite and extinguish fires by using both fire and frost spells. So if there's like grass out in the middle of nowhere, you can just light it on fire.
Oh, that'd be really cool because that again makes the world a little more immersive.
Yeah, and if you see like a fire pile in a dungeon, you can put it out with a frost spell and pretend you're more stealthy. But I don't think it actually makes a difference. Next one I have in the D's, actually this is the last one in the D's, is Dynamic Merchants. This one allows the merchant's gold to fluctuate more wildly based on how much you trade with them, which just adds a little bit more immersion. So
yeah,
I've got
one that doesn't make them fluctuate, just has them level up their gold. It's further down somewhere, but I've got one that levels up their amount of gold based on what level you are.
Okay, that's a bit more blatant. I felt that one was a bit cheaty. This one, you know, if you're bringing goods to a merchant, they're going to get richer. So that's the way I chose this one over that one.
Okay.
It's Dynamic Merchants. That brings me to the E's.
Well, I can tell you, let's see, what I've got a few in here. Let's see.
I've got several in here because everybody wants to call the thing enhanced.
Yeah. Enhanced Dynamic Weather System. So this one basically changes the weather system, makes the weather a little more realistic. I mean, I've been playing on the PC long enough that I can't actually tell you what it does compared to what it used to, but...
Lots more rain.
Yeah, lots of rain.
Yes. And different kinds of rain, too. Yeah, it seems to be... updates the weather based on the region that you're in as well. So, you know... I was wondering if maybe this one and the other snow one... the deepest snow one might conflict with it. No, not the deepest snow one. The dynamic snow one might conflict with each other. I wasn't sure.
Maybe. It's hard to tell with some of these.
Yeah. Well, the next one I have is engineering, which I haven't used at all yet, but it allows you to craft Dwemer temporary companions, like having a dog or whatever.
You mean like the spiders and such?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I saw that one.
Yeah, but I haven't used it at all. I don't think I will ever use it.
Actually, you not a crafting thing, but in Dawnguard, there's a staff you can get that can summon spiders and other Dwemer things.
Well, there's a staff that you can get from... what's the most western city?
Makarth?
Yeah, there's a staff you can get from the museum in Makarth that controls... the spider.
Oh, that controls them, yeah, but there's one in Dawnguard that allows you to summon one, just like you could summon, say, a wolf or something.
Okay, that... summoning wolves? Okay.
Well, you know, like you can summon the spectral wolves, you know, you can use conjuration magic to summon to control things.
Yeah, so you could do that anywhere. That seems a bit silly. It should only be in Dwemer ruins.
Well, it's a charge thing. You can. It has a certain number. It works like anything else. It has charges.
I know, but where are you going to get the parts?
Who knows? Maybe from wherever the Dwemer went.
Okay. Well, that's the engineering one. So I'm not super excited about it. I mean, this is something that before we had mods, I was like, yes, it'd be great to be able to build Dwemer stuff. And now that I can, it's like, nah, that's a bit too much effort.
Well, this one, I'm surprised you don't have loaded Enhanced Distant Terrain.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that one. It's a texture mod. Enhances the low detail terrain by recreating from scratch so that things in the distance just look better.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that one would be safe. But if you're using it, maybe it is.
I've been using it for a long time. I've had it subscribed since, let's see, I subscribed on June 1st.
So you visually notice as well? Did you?
I've been using it long enough that I think I noticed when I first loaded it, and now it's kind of fuzzed into the background for me.
Okay. Well, I might give that one a go. Well, I've got Enhanced Blood Textures. Have you got that one?
I don't have it. I've read about it. I've thought about getting it. Yeah. The two that I have that actually I'm surprised you don't have both of these. There's Enhanced Soundtrack, and
well, that comes next.
There's part one and part two.
Yeah, I've got both those.
Okay, because I'm looking at friends who have things. Yeah, that's funny. Friends it who doesn't have list things. You as having part one.
What is it? Does it? I don't know. Friends items.
Oh, yeah, it shows up as friends have. One friend has subscribed to this, so it shows people who have subscribed to if you have them listed as friends in Steam.
Okay. I don't know.
The soundtrack ones, these two, part one and part two, everybody who's playing on PC should get these. Because the Skyrim soundtrack is great, but if you play long enough, you've heard every piece of music an infinite number of times.
Well, I had a question about Dawnguard. Does Dawnguard add any new music?
I don't think so.
Yeah, that tip to game developers. If you're adding DLC to your game, that DLC should ship with 4 or 5 new soundtracks.
Yeah, just to spice things up a little bit. But these two mods, Enhanced Soundtrack 1 and 2, help out a lot because it takes a lot of music that fits nicely with Skyrim and merges it in.
Although some of it, maybe not. Like there's, you know, Harry Potter tunes in there.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised about some of it. I mean, I'm surprised, to be perfectly honest, I'm surprised there hasn't been a takedown notice on this.
But most of it, yeah, I agree. Most of it just adds a little bit more flavor as you're wandering around. Some of it's very Skyrim-ish as well in style.
Yeah,
well, that's actually the end of the ease for me.
If you played Fallout and you got Connell Rad, it does sort of the same thing.
Yeah, Connell Rad was awesome. And there was also the emergency broadcast one. Sorry, this is a bit of a tangent. And there was also another one that was for robots, the Robot Revolution Station, where they just play songs about robots killing humans. It's awesome. Yeah. Anyway, that's the end of the E's for me. I'm up to F's now.
I've only got one here, Fixed Followers Light. And to be honest, okay. I haven't noticed that it fixes much because, by God, the followers still get in my way.
Well, I don't think I have that one.
Killed Lydia.
I don't have a follower. And that's possibly one of the reasons why I haven't married anyone yet either, because I just haven't settled on the right follower. And there's a few mods out there that add more followers, and I'm really tempted to add.
Well, there is
add.
A follower in Dawnguard that is pretty cool. Since you haven't played, I won't spoil it, but the follower I got in Dawnguard is pretty darn cool.
Okay.
Still does the same walk in front of you thing, but not... this mod fixes some bugs. Not enough, but it fixes some.
Well, my first F is actually Faster Vanilla Horses. Highly recommend this. Because I have been playing without fast travel for the most part in all of Prip's play. And with this mod, horse travel makes so much sense. You move about 30% faster. They did a lot of trial and error to try and get what's a good amount of speeding up of the horseness. That's a word, speeding
so
up of the horseness.
So if a wild animal comes along that you don't want to fight, you can actually outrun it.
Yeah, you can. And you combine that with the fact that you've got combat from horseback now.
Uh-huh.
It just fits perfectly. Yeah. So, yeah, I definitely recommend that one. And to anyone who's playing vanilla for the first time as well, like they've just bought Skyrim, get this one because it fixes some of the experience. The next one I have is follower map markers. So you can ask any follower for a map marker, and and now you know where they are. So if you run off and they don't keep up with you, you can find them.
They had that in Fallout New Vegas. You know, they showed up on your map in Fallout New Vegas so you could figure out which room they'd gotten stuck in.
Yes.
So I bet they just turned back on that piece.
But you don't actually need it as much, and I may remove it, because I also have another one called Followers Keep Up. where, as you would expect, the followers actually stick around you when you run off.
Well, you know what I think happens is that you'll do something where you'll jump off someplace that the follower's path system doesn't think they can jump off of. So you'll get from point A to point B really fast. Mm. And it'll take them a month of Sundays to follow you with whatever pathing system the game is using.
Yeah, and in Fallout, they had the followers cheat and speed up, and that's what this does too. I've also got follower trap safety. You know, hey, make sure you don't walk over those traps. Good point. God. I'll walk around the trap. Look at that trap. I'll just walk over it now. That does not happen anymore with this mod.
Okay, that would be useful.
Yeah. I've not seen it in action, because I don't walk around with followers anymore. Okay, that's the end of the F's for me. You got any more F's?
Do you have any G's?
I got a G.
Okay, I don't have any G's.
Just one. Gender and race heights. It adjusts the heights of the NPCs and your characters when you create them to be slightly more in line with the Elder Scrolls lore. And so that the women and the men have the right ratios.
Okay, so it actually follows what the supposed lore says it should.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty minor. It's one of those mods you could definitely skip over. You don't need it. But it's there, and I thought, okay, what the heck? I'll grab it just so I've got yet another mod.
Now, this next one I've got under the H's is actually not one that I found. My daughter recommended it to me. I've seen similar things like this for Fallout and Fallout New Vegas, where at the beginning of the game you have very, very few pieces of equipment that are halfway decent. What this does is it adds a little cabin to Riverwood, Hunter's Cabin of Riverwood. And it doesn't add any big, huge game-killing weapons. It adds a couple of things like an iron axe and an iron, an iron two-handed axe and some crappy armor. So it doesn't add game-breaking stuff, but it's basically a starting point where if you want to have a house that has very few amenities and some, you know, starter equipment, it gives you that from the beginning of the game.
Okay. That's kind of neat. I never felt like that was lacking, though, when I was playing it through the first time.
No, I didn't feel like it was lacking at the beginning, but, you know, it looks kind of neat, and it's... She showed it to me when I had a character that was level 30, so I was like, well, yeah, that's nice. Don't need it. The stuff's not even worth selling, but...
It's not worth carrying around.
No, but I think it could be useful for somebody just starting a game. So, you know, it's... She liked it. It looks like it could be useful for somebody who's just starting out.
Speaking of carrying stuff around, I had like over 100 in weight of ores, ingots, and minor gem, soul stone things.
Yeah, that's. I finally realized why it is that my character never has more than 20 pounds free, and it's because I have more soul gems than I can count.
Well, I was, you know, I was doing a lot of blacksmithing last time I was playing, and it was, at this time around, I was like, you know what, I don't need these 200 pieces of leather, and I'm just going to sell them. Someone else can smelt things for me. I don't care anymore. So I just sold all that stuff, and now my massive amounts of stamina carry limit is excellent again. I can carry things that are worthwhile.
Yeah.
My only H is a high-quality snow texture. Like many people, I cannot run the high-resolution textures mod, the official Bethesda one. It just does not work on my graphics card, and my graphics card is no slouch. Yeah, don't know what to say about that. It's a real shame that I can't get that.
It's one of the things about PC gaming is that you run across weird stuff that has no good explanation.
Yeah. That brings me to the eyes.
No, I got no eyes. My next one's in the case.
I have an eye that you definitely need. And I'll start with that one. Improved skill books.
Oh, so what does that do?
Okay, let me just bring up the thing. The book, if a book gives you a skill, it appends that skill to the name of the book.
Oh, so you can tell just by looking at it if it's worth your while.
Well, it's always worth your while, but...
Right, like, but you can tell if you really care or not.
Right, so you can tell the difference between a book that gives you a skill and a book that doesn't.
Oh, right, okay, yeah.